We're going to talk about Solidify and talking about John here. I'm going to give you a little bit of background here so that you know who this dude is. This is not John the Baptist, okay? Different dude named John, one of the 12, one of the disciples. He is the last living eyewitness to Jesus, okay? This is the last dude. He's outlived everybody else just like Jesus said that he would. Okay, Jesus predicted that and said that over in John's gospel, and he wrote that one as well. Okay, so you got the book of John, you got 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation. This is the author. Okay, this is the dude. It's about 90 AD, somewhere around in there, okay, when he writes this. Okay, so Jesus died somewhere around 33, somewhere around that. Okay, so he's lived a long time after Jesus was around. But John, this is what when I was a youth pastor, I'd always tell teenagers this, that God loves to use young people, so much so that most people believe that John was a teenager when Jesus selected him to be one of his disciples. And so a lot of times we always think, oh, when I get older, or when I get to a certain point, or Jesus picked these grown-ups. He didn't. He picked some pretty rough guys, quite honestly. And that's a good thing for all of us, right? He picked some pretty rough guys, and he picked some young guys. He picked a doctor. He picked fishermen. He picked tax collectors, you know. I mean, just this hodgepodge group, and he formed them together. John was one of those guys. And so John writes this little book, you know, in that day and time wouldn't have been a book, it was a letter. We've just kind of designed it into a book, but wrote a letter trying to explain to people who Jesus was. Here's what you need to know about this book, okay, so that you can kind of understand what's going on. He says in five chapters, okay, five chapters, the phrase to know or that you will know 37 times. When you think about it, in five chapters, to have that phrase, to know or that you will know, 37 times, means he's trying to get something across, which means something's going on. And what he's trying to do is solidify their faith. And so when John writes this thing, he starts from that perspective. And so then we have to ask the question, well, why would he do that? Because, I mean, 37 times in five chapters, if you've got these little Bibles in front of you, if you turn the page, there's the end, okay? He writes it 37 times. So what's going on? What was happening was there were some people living at that time called Gnostics. Now, we sometimes hear the term agnostic, okay? You put the letter A in front of a word. What does it do? In our language, it usually means to take away, okay? So like a Gnostic was someone that said, you can kind of know something, but Jesus wasn't in the form that everybody thinks that he was. An agnostic would say, yeah, there's some higher being out there, but you can't know it, okay? So a Gnostic said, yes, Jesus was deity, but here's what they would do. They would say Jesus was deity, but he was not fully human, okay? Because the Gnostics believed that any material matter was evil. It was bad. Now then you say, well, why does that matter? Here's why it matters. Jesus had to be fully human and fully divine in order to pay for our sins. And so when God sent Jesus, and there was this raging debate over, was Jesus really here? Was he, you know, in fully human? Was he divine or just an apparition? Was he more than that? This was what was rocking some of these young believers' minds, and they didn't know what to do with it. So with that backdrop, you're going to hear some things in here that you will understand, okay, this is why he was writing some of this stuff. So look at 1 John. We're going to look at the first chapter this morning. Here's what he says. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we all ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. Okay, so here's his purpose statement, verse 4. Why is he writing all this? Okay, so that you will know, all right, so that you can fully share our joy. Then in verse 5, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Now, I want to give to you your GPS this morning, okay? Your good practical stuff for this morning. He became what we are to make us what he is. He became what we are to make us what he is. And if you notice in the first three verses of 1 John, did you notice what he kept repeating? These things we have seen and heard. These things we have seen and heard. And then he even says, we touched Jesus. So while these Gnostics were running around and they were saying, you know, yeah, Jesus was divine, but he wasn't really with us. He wasn't really human, okay? It is critical because for a lot of people to be like, well, what's the big deal? If Jesus is divine, what does it matter about the humanity part? Well, Scripture tells us in the Old Testament that something had to come and die for our sins. That's why they would do all these sacrifices with animals, but the animal could only cover that part of that sin, and so Jesus had to come so that all sins for all time, for all eternity, would be covered. And it was critical that he would be like us, because that was the penalty that had to be paid, was someone like us. And so it was absolutely crucial that they understand, hey, I watched him, I heard him, and I touched him. And I'm going to tell you, if I would have been around at that time, and I'm seeing Jesus walk on water, and I'm watching him feed 5,000 men, not even including the women and children, I think I'm going to go, is that real? Did you catch LeBron last night? Have you caught him at any point in time? I'm sorry, but if he walks by, I'm going to do that one, okay? I'd be like, good job, dude. And I'm going to be like, wow, you know? I'll never wash this hand again, which is a little icky, you know? But I'm probably going to do that. And if you notice when stars walk by that people will do that, they'll be like, wow, I touched him. Why? Because it's so surreal. It's like, is that really them? So you got to understand with all these things going on, all these miracles, and he's raising people from the dead, that they would go, as a disciple, when he's not looking, you know, just kind of, is this really real? You know what John says? Not only did we watch, not only did we listen, not only did we partake in all this stuff, dude, I went up to Jesus and I was like, is this really real? He even uses some words in here that are really exceptional in the Greek. He doesn't just use the word to look at, but he uses the word theomai, which is where we get the word theater from. It means to gaze intently. You ever watched someone else watch a movie? You ever watch someone else watch their favorite show? And you realize how dorky that they look watching their show, you know? And you realize, wait a second, I probably look like that. You ever watched them before? Because they're like, yeah, and they're like mouthing things along with the movie, or they're watching and they're, you know, girls watching some sappy love story, you know, and they're just like, you know, and they're just so into it, man. They're gazing intently. We don't usually watch our favorite shows like this. You know? What do we do, man? We gaze intently. We watch a game like that too. When it's intense, everyone's just into it. And he uses this word, theomai, to say, we didn't just kind of walk by and look. We didn't just glance over. We didn't occasionally just look at him. We gazed intently like a theater. Because when you really think about it, some of the things he was doing was theatrical. I'm not trying to take away. I'm trying to put it in context. It was so theatrical that you couldn't help but stare. You couldn't help but gaze intently. And so here's John saying to them on three different occasions in the first three verses, we saw it, we heard it. We saw it, we heard it. We saw it, we heard it. And each time he uses theomai. Guys, we didn't just glance over. We didn't just kind of check it out. We didn't look at it for a little bit. We were like engrossed in it, like you would a book that you just can't put down, a movie that you love to watch, a sports activity that you love to watch and participate in. He said, that's what we did. You need to know the Gnostics that are running around saying, no, he really wasn't human. I'm telling you, I witnessed it. And so much so that at sometimes I would touch him just to go, is this really real? Is this really here? He said, I'm telling you, Jesus is the word of life. And John's trying to get across to them, he became what we are so that we can become what he is. And if that doesn't happen, then it's all for nothing. Now then he moves on throughout 1 John here. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4 there, he says, we are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. What does that mean? They've lost their joy. Why? Because they're saying, wait a second, the Messiah is supposed to become human. He's supposed to be divine. And if he's not human and divine, maybe Jesus isn't, maybe he was just a prophet. Maybe he's just kind of a, you know, he just kind of fooled people. And so you can imagine if you've ever had doubts with your faith, and let me help you understand, everybody has doubts with their faith. If you haven't doubted your faith, I would poke you, okay? And be like, how long have you been a believer? 2 seconds? Because if you don't doubt your faith, you can't solidify your faith. You have to ask tough questions. You need to ask why. You need to go to God and say why, how. Because if you don't ask those questions, somebody else is going to ask it of you, and it's going to rock your faith. And you're going to be disjointed. And so here are these believers that were suddenly beginning to back off. And he says, hey, let me tell you why I'm writing this. So that your joy will be restored again. Because here's what I found out. When I begin to doubt something, I don't have much joy with it. When I'm not sure that it's not going to work out, I'm not that excited about it. And it's the same thing with following after Christ. If you don't begin to solidify your faith and kind of doubt your doubts, okay, if you don't get to that point, you're going to have trouble being joyful. And so John says clearly, this is why I want to solidify your faith. I want to restore the joy that you once had. You once had this joy, now then you're doubting. And whenever you have doubts, you're not going to share a joy because you don't have it. But when your joy is complete, that's when you're going to be able to share your faith. That's when you're going to be able to walk in your faith. Then I look down at verse 6, he uses a pretty tough term that we don't like so much. He's talking about having fellowship with God, and he says, so we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. You may say, why did he all of a sudden take this right turn, you know? I mean, he's talking about, I'm writing this so you'll have joy, and then he starts calling people liars, you know? It's just kind of weird. Well, what was happening was because of what the Gnostics were teaching and trying to pull people that direction, here's what he's saying. These guys were teaching that, you know, pretty much you can do whatever you want to do. And they started going in that direction. There was two different groups, okay? The Stoics and the Epicureans. And if you've studied history and world history, you kind of know a little bit about that. The Stoics believe that you should just divorce all emotion, and that's where we get, you know, he's a Stoic kind of guy and that sort of thing. Divorce all emotions because emotions are bad and passions are bad, you know, everything's evil. Then the other group went the other way. The Epicureans were like, man, you should just live life with pleasure. Just do whatever you want to do when you want to do it. So you had these two groups, and they're trying to figure out which one do we go to. And here's what he's saying. He was addressing them. He's saying, you know, if we're saying that we're walking in light and walking in truth, but yet we're actually walking in darkness and we're doing the exact opposite to what Christ taught, we're liars. It's a big statement. I don't know about you, but one of the things that I love to do is people watch. Anybody people watcher, you know? Go to the mall and see people walking around. And Sherry knows this, and she... I think sometimes she likes to go to the mall with me when I do this, but most of the time not. I love to sit there and just make up stories as to what that person's all about, you know, and she starts laughing, you know, and I'm not degrading them. I'm just like, you know, making stuff up, you know, about, oh, this dude was born in this, you know, and do all these other things with it. And so I love to people watch because they always are doing the weirdest of things, you know, and they don't even know that they're doing it, you know, and it gets to be kind of funny. One of the things that I like to do during the political season is when they're doing all the debates is I don't really listen to the guys in the debate because they're going to say the same thing at every single stinking debate, okay? They're just so rehearsed that it's just the same thing every single time. So once you've heard one, you know you've probably heard the rest of them. But I love to watch the people who are watching the debate. Have you noticed what we've done now? We've got this technology now to where the people who are quote-unquote undecided, and I believe some of those people are undecided and some people just want to be on TV, okay? I believe that with my whole heart. Some people are undecided, but some people just want to be on TV, you know, during the whole thing. You know, I'm Mary from such and such Ohio, and I'm still undecided, and, you know, and they keep talking to her, and I'm like, oh, there's her 15 minutes of fame, you know? And some people are literally undecided, but I think some of them are just milking it for all it's worth. But they give them these dials. Have you seen the dials? Now when they run it during the debate at the bottom, you can watch to see if they like what they said or they didn't like what they said, you know? And I'm like, am I supposed to be pulled in the direction of their dial? That's what I almost feel like is, oh, they really liked that. Oh, they didn't like that one. And I'm like, well, yeah, I didn't like that either. Now come to think of it, you know? Well, yeah, I like that. Sure. And it's almost like they pull us along, you know? And one of the things that I noticed was, and I don't remember which one it was in, I don't remember if it was a primary or whatever else, but I remember one of them said they lied. And oh, the dials got turned down on that. It was the lowest point. The interesting thing was no one really cared if what the person said was a lie or not. It was how it made us feel. They didn't investigate and say, well, you know, the dude did lie, or the lady did lie. I don't remember who it was. They did, you know. But instead, it was like, oh, they shouldn't have said that. That's where they really lost the audience. You can't, in the United States of America, say that that was a lie. What do you say? They told an untruth. That's what you're supposed to say. Did you not know this? If you run for office, man, I'm coaching you right now. Don't say that word. Even if they are lying. Even if it's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are lying, don't use that word. And here's John using one of the words in the United States of America right now, you do not use. And all of a sudden he's talking about, hey, we need to walk in the light and everything else. And he goes, hey, if that's not, they are lying. And he uses it twice. So I have an idea this morning when they got to that word, there were some personal dials that got turned down. Wow, that's a really tough word. John's being a little rough. I think he just should use the word untruth. But here's what you need to know. He's leading up to 1 John 1:9, which is the focal verse of that whole chapter. And what does he say? If we what? Confess. You know what confession is? Agreeing with God to call it what it is. I don't go before God, and when I have, I'm being stupid. I don't go before God and say, you know, I said an untruth. Call it what it is. You know, God, and this is tough, I said a lie. God, I had an impure thought. God, I hated that person today. But we like to use the word dislike. They were annoying to me. No, I was hateful back. and I shouldn't have been. No matter what they did, I don't have the right to be hateful. And you know what he's saying? Hey, gang, if you're going to walk with God, call sin what it is. And then here's what you need to understand. God will cleanse you from every bit of, did you notice the word that he used? Wickedness. Boy, we don't like to call ourselves wicked, do we? Ugh. Now, I'm not here to say we should demean each other and demean ourselves. I'm not saying that. What he's saying is this. Call it what it is and understand this. When you call it what it is, Jesus always cleanses you. That's the promise. But when you don't call it what it is and you don't get there, then you're really not taking ownership of it. But the beauty of the verse is when you call it what it is and you're just agreeing with God as to what it is, you're not going to surprise him. He's not going to turn the dial down and go, I don't like that word, you know. Oh, I like you now. No, I don't like you so much. You're going way down. Say something good. You know, he doesn't play that game. But when we agree with him, you know, the beauty of it is he restores, he cleanses. And the beauty of this verse is he uses that word cleanse in the present tense, not in the past. Not like, well, Jesus died way long ago, and wow, you know, you did some things back there. It's not going to stay with you. Good luck. If you sin after becoming a believer, good luck. You're on your own. He uses it in the present tense to say this. As time moves forward, he knows what's going to happen. He knows you're going to have shortcomings. He knows you're going to have sin. He knows that things are going to happen. He knows that. And here's what happens as the timeline of your life moves forward. And as we move forward in this thing we call the present, when we agree with God as to what it is, he always cleanses. He always takes away. I want us to go back to that GPS this morning and then we'll close. He became what we are to make us what he is. And for some people, I can tell you, they probably look back in their life and say, man, I don't have a problem in calling it what it is. I almost feel like I've done so many bad things that I can never get there. I've met a lot of people that feel like they got to get cleaned up before they go to God. That is not what this verse teaches. What did it say? It said, oh, if you confess and then get cleaned up and then you kind of do all these other things, then God will accept you. What does he say? If we confess, then God is just and faithful to do what? To forgive and cleanse of all of it. And so I would say to the person that's sitting here this morning that's got some deep regrets, your sin is not too great that God can't forgive. But you've got to accept that. You know what the hardest thing is? And this is what I've found out. I always feel like, though, that I got to work up something. I got to feel bad for a couple of days, make myself feel bad. Make other people feel bad. You know, we do the weirdest of things, you know. I gotta feel down in the dumps for about 3 days. And then that'll make me feel better about it, and then Jesus will do it. No. The payment of Christ on the cross was sufficient. And not only sufficient, it was more than enough. Not just for your past sin. Not just for present, but for future as well. Does that mean that we go do anything we want to go do? No, he says very clearly, because people have asked me before, are you someone who believes that, some people know it as what's called the eternal security of the believer, okay? That's a big phrase, but what it literally means is this, that when someone decides they want to follow after Christ, that, you know, that their salvation is set. And what I say is yes, but... I do believe that. But I also believe 1 John when he says we'll walk as Jesus walked. We won't just say, yep, I prayed a prayer and now then I can go do whatever I want. I would say, no, you're mocking the Christ on the cross, man. There is no way. No way. It doesn't mean, though, that you're not going to sin. But what it does mean is you won't get into a habitual thing that you finally just go, you know, I don't care, I'm just going to do it anyway. But you're going to say, you know, man, I feel bad about that. I want to get that corrected. I want God to cleanse me. I want to walk with him. I have a desire to walk with him. So do I believe that? Yes, but. Because I've had people ask me for it. Oh, someone, you know, they can pray a prayer and go and do whatever they want. I'm like, well, they can pray a prayer and go do whatever they want. That doesn't mean that their salvation is secure. I'm not doubting you can go do whatever you want. I'm just saying I wouldn't be too confident of the ending, okay? I wouldn't be too confident of that day. But what I would say to all of us is this. When God says to us, he is faithful and just, he will cleanse us, we've got to believe him at his word. And we've also got to have the heart to follow after him and to walk and learn how to walk as he walked. And what you will find out is the longer that you become a Christian, the longer that you spend in time with God, the more you realize just how sinful that you are. Go back and read any great man or woman of God, and you'll find out the older they got, the more they realized they needed Christ. The more they walked with him, the more they realized, wow, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. I want everyone just to bow their heads and close their eyes. And my prayer for you is this morning that if you've got some past regrets, that you claim that verse in 1 John 1:9, man, that you read that every night until it becomes yours. And you know, that's why God's word is written, is so that it will become yours, because it was written to you. And that you will claim that and say, you know, no matter the past, no matter the heartaches, no matter the things, that while the consequences may remain, God's word is true. And God promised to me that if I confess it, if I agree with him as to what it is, that he will cleanse me from all wickedness, then that's where I'm going to live. And my prayer is for some of you in this room who have that gnawing sense of, oh, I wish I could go back and change. I wish I could have done it differently. I don't see how God will ever really get past that. And you've limped along and limped along, that you would understand that God wants to restore you so that you can run, not limp the rest of your life. And for those of you who are here this morning, that maybe you want to be at that point where you say, you know, this is the morning that I'm going to nail this thing down, where I'm going to say Jesus is who he said that he was. John said, I saw it, I heard it, I watched him intently, but I also touched just to make sure. that witness, that eyewitness of John, would maybe convince you. Maybe this morning you just want to pour out your heart to God. There's nothing magical in the words that I'm going to say here, but I think it does help you to kind of get to that point. And maybe in your heart of hearts this morning that you just simply say, Dear Lord Jesus, I know I've done things wrong. And I confess, I agree with you as to what those are. Lord, we read in 1 John 1:9 that if we do this, if we confess that you are faithful, that you're just, to forgive us and cleanse us from all wickedness. And so, Jesus, I claim that now, and I want to be a follower of yours. I'm not a person that believes that I can just pray this prayer and then go do whatever I want to go do, but I really do want to follow after you. And if you prayed that prayer with me this morning, I would just encourage you to put that on one of the connection cards, put it in the popcorn box. You can just put, I prayed the prayer. I'll see those cards. Or if you want to stop me at the back or email me this week, call me, whatever. Let's just sit down and talk and just make sure that we've got that nailed down. But for the rest of us, I hope this was a reminder that when we have doubts, that God has written these words to us to solidify our faith, that when we doubt, that we're like, wow, with everything that John went through, with everything that was going on at that time, that he stayed faithful and that he said, I'm telling you, I saw, heard, touched. Jesus is who he said that he was. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that Jesus would become like us so that we could one day be like him. Let's pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.